asleep. All right, we're still on talking in Luke 17, 30, the word revelation or revealed, apokalupto. So we're going to read in Daniel 7. Anybody there? Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So that's the first beast. The first beast is what? A lion. Second beast, that in verse 6, and another beast, a second like to it, a bear, and it raised up itself upon one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise and devour much flesh. And after that, this I beheld, lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of its four wings a fowl. And the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong and exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth that devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
Yeah, we've talked about it a number of times. The bear has the expression like he's smiling. And then
but this is different.
The leopard changes his spots.
No,
this
no.
Is different?
Okay. There's something different here. These are the same four beasts, but in Revelation 13, mm-hmm. they describe. What do they describe in Revelation 13? Nobody remember? They describe the Antichrist.
Yeah.
So we have a picture here. We have a.
And this isn't?
Well, this describes kingdoms. Well, let's go to Revelation 13. We're going to come back there right away, so. I stood. Everybody there? Except for Gary.
Got it.
And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head. Upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly head wound was healed. and all the world wandered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So the beast, well, first of all, we got the four beasts. And back in Daniel, we had the four beasts. Different thing. Now let's look real quick. Let's go to Revelation 17. Anybody there? And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. So we have the same picture, the scene from slightly different angles in Daniel, in Revelation 17, and in Revelation 13. Now, seven heads and ten crowns. Now, each one of these, they describe both kingdoms of the earth, and they describe the high place in your mind, the seven mountains of your mind upon which the whore sits.
Does it say crowns in some place?
What?
Said seven heads and ten crowns. Does it say crowns instead of horns in some place? You said crowns.
Well, I just read it. We just had it in Revelation 13.
Okay.
That's why I said they're slightly different.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to we're not going to have time to go into this today, but I just wanted you to see the grand overall picture here of this mystery of the revelation.
No, they both say horns.
All right, well, just leave it for now, Pete. I don't want to go into the details. I just wanted to give you the broad picture first. And then we'll go into the details.
So you're saying these are kingdoms on earth that they're talking about.
And they're kingdoms in your head. Here, this, everything on earth is a parable for what's going on in your mind. That's where the real war is.
Okay. Yeah, I know that. The kingdom on the earth.
Well, it's
we're tied here.
So. Yeah, we'll talk about that too, because we also have to go to Revelation 12, but we're not going to do that now. I mean, that Revelation Daniel, but right now we're going to finish what we started in Daniel 7. Okay, starting in Daniel 7, verse 8, we read 1 through 7. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like the pure wool. And his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I even beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. All right, now, first of all, can you see there is a commonality in all of these? But I want you to put yourself in Daniel's position for a minute. He had this weird dream, vision, if you will, that it had to scare the crap out of him. But yet he had the courage to write it down so we could see it today. Now, do you remember, if a prophet, a prophet always gave two prophecies, or I mean at least two, but one from things which would take place within his life, and the other that would take place in the future. Now here, if he had written all these prophecies down, and the one or more that were for his lifetime didn't come to pass exactly as prophesied, then he was killed, his family was killed, and all his writings were destroyed forever. Now here we have this weird dream. And he knows if he writes it down and shows it to anybody, that there is a potential that he's going to get killed and all his family will be killed and he'll be destroyed forever.
So that's the courage of writing it down.
So the courage of a prophet is mind-bending in all of the prophets we have here. That's why this is so critical. That's why Daniel is the linchpin, has been forever. I mean, not forever, but long since he was here, for this ideas of what's going to take place in the future. In each and every case, it shows the evil that is going on, unparalleled in some cases. It also shows the eventual victory of the Son of Man. And that's what these prophecies reveal. And that's wherein we have our confidence, no matter what's going on, no matter what is happening in the world, it's none of our business. Because we are secure and confident in the, no matter what it looks like, in this incredible mystery that we are partakers of. Now, we've studied Revelation 13, we've studied Daniel 7, and we looked at Revelation 17. And I'll try over the next few days to put those all into a perspective that shows there were two things going on. It described not just the things that were going on in the world, they also described the things that are going on in your head and how you're so easily deceived by your mind. Amen? Let's look at one more Daniel. Let's go to Daniel 9. I'm sorry for dropping that atomic bomb this morning. Did you get my what do you call it? Text message this morning?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I'm so thirsty. My mouth is just clean. Daniel 9. Let's start in verse 20. Now remember, the first part of Daniel 9 was he confessed his sins, and then he confessed the people's sins. And then this incredible thing happens. Verse 20. And while I was speaking and prophesying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. I can't hardly talk. I'm going to have to drink. Just give me a teeny bit of coffee, would you? Just a teeny little bit.
I cannot.
Yeah, you can.
To listen to your mind.
I'll blame you when to the doctor.
Some water.
Huh?
Drink some water.
Well, anything. Anything wet.
Drink some water.
You want me to give you coffee and pull the water in it, make it decay?
No, no. Just a little bit. Verse 21, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, thank you, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. I mean, remember what there were set sacrifices that were to be done at sunset, some just before and some just after.
I forget, but what oblation?
That's sacrifice.
Oh.
Oblation is sacrifice.
I'll never forget.
And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, it wasn't at the beginning of his prayer or at the beginning of his repentance. It was at the beginning of his supplication. And this is ever true throughout the scriptures. The fullness of seeing can never take place until the supplication is real and God knows it's real in the God in your mind. And that's the supplication. The fruit of supplication is, I am yours without condition. There's no more questioning, no more. I am completely and totally accept my death in its totality. Doesn't matter, and because of that, I have his life in me. I would trade my salvation if only somebody else could be saved. No matter what happens to me is unimportant as long as I meet your need. That's the spirit of Christianity.
That sounds like sanctification.
You understand? What happens to me is unimportant as long as I meet your need. No conditions. Now, let's go back. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for the iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, each one of those seven things took place to the hour, probably, of the time he made this sacrifice. I mean, the 70 weeks are determined here. And it comes exactly, the 70 weeks of years, 490 years, comes exactly to the date of his crucifixion. Everything about what he just said here was fulfilled. Now, again, listen to it. The six things. To make an end, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity. So there's going in reverse, there's sin, there's trespass, and there's iniquity. Now, most people just think they're all the same. Sin is who you are. Trespass is what you do. Iniquity is that you are forever and completely geared, hardwired for self-realization. That's the fruit of the fall. And if there's self-realization or self-awareness, then there will be self-realization. It's as automatic as breathing.
Well, what about when it says to make an end of sins?
It did it. From God's perspective, it made an end of sin. The human race died.
Okay, so then what you
it's the same universe.
So it didn't make an end of sense. I mean, you got to reconcile those two places.
Well, let's talk about any of it. Make an end of sin.
Finish
the transgression. Make an end of sin.
Reconciliation for iniquity.
Bring everlasting righteousness.
Yeah.
To seal up the vision and the prophecy. To anoint the most holy. Every single one of those was finished at the cross.
Okay. But then you describe after that your words.
The same thing happens. Before, it was fixed, finished.
Okay, so
there's still iniquity. There's still sin. There's still, but it's just done by dead men. So God didn't even see it. God sees this. At the cross. It's finished.
This is our position.
Without question.
Yeah.
But, and there's the biggest but there is, as long as you see your death. The rest of it, and you see, if you see your death, it has to be total. And what about you dies? Your mind. You forsake every aspect of your mind. Then you're going to screw up, so there's transgression. But this has to be manifest in you, and I, and all of God's people. And it's only manifest, and I'll say this till hell freezes over, it only comes about by repentance. Because this thing is constantly, as we saw, he raised himself from the deadly head wound. He's constantly trying to bring all of this and tell you, go in the name of Christ, and all this has to come take place in the future. You must confess the same thing as he confesses. See the same thing. Hear the same thing. That's what the purpose of this book is. Biggest problem is the beast is constantly trying to resurrect himself. And even when you're trying to do the most holy things, like study, help, whatever, if it's not automatic, it's meaningless. If it has to come with thought, forget it. It's polluted. There's a spot on the garment.
Repentance comes with thought, it's polluted.
What?
If repentance comes with thought, it's polluted. Is that what you just said?
No.
I'm sorry. Explain it again. Say that again.
If what you're doing comes with thought, it's polluted. Your life should be an automatic. It's the faith is if faith isn't automatic, it's not faith. It's you're still walking after the course of this world, but you're trying to bring the kingdom of God into the world instead of you leaving the world. In terms of if giving importance to anything in the world, this is where we always end up. This is the great divide.
Well, what about the mind and the process?
Well, if the process is to get to that place.
Determining vanity.
Right. That's why, again, as I said, which we were going to talk about, but anyway, I didn't want to do it now. But the idea that this, to seeing this, remember, each one of you came to any even acceptance of this mystery of God. You came when you were in a state of poverty, a state of where this, what you were doing no longer was giving you sustenance and satisfaction. So that was the entrance into the kingdom. That's the beginning. And hopefully you were baptized, and the baptisms found out whether you had died or not. Then you wander around the world in the wilderness, until you're shed of all the grave clothes of religion, all the grave clothes of the world, and all the grave clothes of Babylon. And then you enter the promise. Now you, I write unto you, young adults, because you are strong, and the word of abideth continually in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And finally, I write unto you, fathers, because you've been with him from the beginning. This can't be communicated unless it's lived. You can communicate, you know, you can have the whole world full of the prosperity gospel, the same thing the world wants, and you'll have millions of followers. Amen? At least for a partial amen? The potential of an amen?
Right, the service amen.
All right. Take it, big guy.